Blog Talk Radio.
At 7 p.m. here on the West Coast at 4 p.m. This is the Voice of Reason talk show with your host, Wayne Cooper. So glad you could join us today. We're looking forward to this segment today as we talk about the significant contributions of Black Americans in building a great nation. Think about that. The significant contributions of Black Americans building a great nation. That shouldn't surprise us. But before we even get into that, think about it. You know, America is often referred to as the greatest nation on the earth. Now, I know for some, you know, that's a good thing. That sounds really great. You know, it sounds good. And particularly if you are doing well in this country, you love the sound of that, you know. And then of course, if you've had challenges, like many people have, you know, you might call that into question. But the truth is, America is a great nation. It is a blessed nation, and it is for a lot of reasons, a myriad of reasons, and a lot of that is historical. A lot of that we don't have a clue. Because we were not around in the founding of our nation and the building of it in the early years. And yet we have to acknowledge, just to be fair and balanced, it is also a nation with a lot of flaws, a lot of, you could say, historical sins, a lot of problems, you know, that we've had, the way we've treated a certain segment of our country. You know, we could talk about slavery, and we could talk about a lot of other unjust things that have happened historically. But here we are in the 21st century, and America still reigns as perhaps the greatest country the world has ever known. Here's what I do know. I do know that millions of people, in many cases, even risk their very lives to try to get to this country every single year. And you have to ask yourself, if America is not a great country, why do people take such risks to try to come to our shores every single year? And then, of course, even now, there are people trying to come to our borders because they see for themselves a better life, a better future for not only themselves, but for their children and their children's children. So I just want to talk a little bit about something that's near and dear to my heart. I'm talking about the significant contributions of Black Americans in building a great nation, because I believe that history shows, even in contemporary times in which we live, that Black in America have played a major role in building this country, and not only have in the past tense, but continue to play a significant role in building this country we call America. And of course, history bears record of the many contributions of Black Americans to the country that enslaved them. So I will say this, is that America will always be indebted to Black America for the back-breaking sacrifices she has made for 244 years now, okay, in terms since slavery. And so we want to go forward with that. So, I, you know, just doing some reading, preparing for this show today, you know, slavery is not something that we like to talk about, But even in researching, just going back from the very first day African slaves arrived in Jamestown, Virginia, which then, of course, if we read our history books, we remember it used to be a British colony. And when you go back, when slaves arrived there in Jamestown on August the 20th, around, I think, 1619, they began to contribute to the Western world, of course. And in fact, the arrival of the enslaved Africans in the New World here marked a beginning of a 2.5 centuries of slavery in North America. And the reason why I wanted to bring that out is because when we talk about slavery, we usually just only think about it from the time that it happened in America, up until it ended. But slavery was going on even before America was founded and chartered in 1776. So I think you ought to know that, just in case someone is listening out there and you didn't know that. Going back to when the first ships arrived on our shores there in Jamestown, Virginia, August 20, 1619, slaves began to contribute to the making what would be known as America and the greatness of America. And so then, specifically from the time our country, America, was founded and chartered in 1776 until the passage of the 13th Amendment in 1865, African people and their descendants were used to contribute to the building of the American society. So I really hope that you understand that. Now, just to give you just a little bit of a history, this is not intended to be a history lesson here today, although it's important that I do highlight a couple of things historically, because when I think about those crucial early days of the contributions of Black people or African people, African descendants, we're talking about, the Atlantic slave trade. We're talking about slavery in the colonial history of the United States. We're talking about the Revolutionary War, slavery and military history during the Civil War. We're even talking about the Reconstruction era. And then for some who may not know, there was actually, I guess, what I personally would call the first civil rights movement, because when we think of the civil rights movement, we think about, the one that Dr. King and others led, but there was actually one long before that, it was around 1865 to around 1896, and it was dealing with civil rights issues as well. And then, of course, when we come up from about 1896 all the way to 1954, it was that era known as Jim Crow. And so Jim Crow, and then, of course, that was part led into the civil rights movement, of which I have to say that I am a product of that era because I was born in that era, the civil rights movement. So being from the Deep South, I saw and witnessed a lot of the struggle there in the state of Florida. And then, of course, from the civil rights movement, we saw another movement. It was known as the Black Power Movement. And then, of course, that went into the post-civil rights era. The Black Power Movement was largely like in the maybe mid to late 60s and maybe to the 70s to some degree. But it was all about Black Power. And that kind of, helped to liberate, the Black community. And to and to infuse them with pride, with Black pride and all of that. And so I just wanted to highlight those things because a lot of times, we don't hear about those things and what led to, the building of America And so when I think about, you know, the significant contributions of Black Americans in building a great nation, it's kind of hard to decide, you know, which should I deal with first in terms of the areas or maybe the departments that, you know, that we contributed to. And then I thought about, you know what, why don't I just go down to some, you know, just right down the line. So I think, first of all, in the area of agriculture, and I think about how, of course, when I see in my mind, you know, those early slaves and how they picked cotton and tobacco, and this was during in the antebellum South, and after slavery, most free slaves stayed in the farming business, okay? And they stayed as very poor sharecroppers, okay? Even though they work hard for others, they themselves remain very poor sharecroppers. And so then, you know, when we think about what we enjoy, you know, those of us here in the 21st century, you know, what we enjoy today, from the cotton fields, it was done on the backs of Black people, and there are still cotton fields, you know. And even though we have sophisticated machinery and things like that, believe me, there are still people who do a lot of the work in order to bring the cotton in and even the tobacco. And then when I think about tobacco, we know, we've seen it here in America, where big tobacco companies have made billions of dollars off of the labor of Black people, and yet Black people have not benefited from it, okay? And so there's a lot to be said there, but yeah. So when we look at tobacco and the big, you know, tobacco companies, they've been sued by the government. They've been sued by other entities, you know, because of what, obviously, some of the bad stuff that can come, you know, from smoking and things like that. And so, but I don't recall big tobacco companies ever showing or demonstrating appreciation to Black people or to the ancestors of the Black people who picked cotton and who brought in the tobacco so that they can make things like cigarettes and cigars and other things that people use for their personal enjoyment. And so if any of you guys have known anything about that, then please make sure you contact me and let me know. But I've tried to research that to see where any people in terms of descendants or even, yeah, today, where anybody was compensated for the hard work down through the many years that these people have put in, and I don't see any of that. And so, but I just want you to know that every time someone, you know, uses tobacco in whatever capacity that they use it, just know that it was a lot of hard work that was put in place to make the tobacco industry what it is today, okay? And so, you know, I just want to just remind you of that, okay? Now, also, in again, Black people, we have a lot of farmers, and I will say this, that in 2010, our government, when I'm talking about government, specifically the U.S. Department of Agriculture, they actually vowed to pay some 40,000 Black farmers $1.2 billion as compensation for years of undue discrimination. But as I said, I don't remember. Now, I know when I go back 2010 and then researching it as of 2012 and 2013, the bulk of that money had not been given. And so here we are in 2021, and I'm not sure whether the government followed through with their promise that they would give the black farmers $1.2 billion for compensation for the years of undue discrimination. But I want to say this, just in researching this, because when we think of black farmers, a lot of people don't realize that in the early years, in the 20th century, in the early years, 1920, for example, did you know that there was nearly a million black farmers in America? In 1920, there were nearly a million black farmers here in America. And today in our country, there are a little over 45,000 black farmers. So you can see that that number has dwindled very significantly since the 1920s, from nearly a million all the way down to 45,000, about 500 black farmers. And I really don't know why that is. Now, I can say that I think it goes without saying that to some degree, some of that has to do with just generations of young men just not wanting to get into that line of work. I know of other countries, for example, who are known or who specialize in certain things. For example, because I've been over to Asia a lot and I've been over to Hong Kong, and Hong Kong is known for their tailoring industry. And I would say this, that they're very concerned about the future of the tailoring industry there, because the generations that have come up, the young men and women are not interested in the tailoring industry. So what Hong Kong will probably have to do is outsource the tailoring business to mainland China. And that's not something they want to do, but it is something they will probably have to do. And so when we think about, nearly 1 million black farmers in 1920, and now that has dwindled to 45,500 today, that probably has a lot to do with generation and just young men who just simply not interested in that line of work. Because let me tell you, I think you can imagine this, but farming work is very hard work. It requires a lot of discipline. It requires, a lot of physical, lifting, taking care of animals and other things and crops. And I mean, it's just a lot of hard work. And we just live in a generation where a lot of people are just not interested in that work. So I'm hoping that perhaps a new generation can be raised to appreciate the work that our farmers do, okay? Then when I think about contributions of blacks in building this great nation of ours, I even looked in the area of government, because that's kind of like the foundation, the bread and butter, so to speak. And the truth is, historically, we have had a lot of blacks who have made a lot of contribution to this country in that regard. And I just want you to know that, because, again, it just kind of requires that, we just simply research it, do reading, and you find out things. But, starting with the White House, a couple of years ago when Michelle Obama did a speech, she made mention of how she was very proud of being able to live in a house where slaves had built the White House. And there were people who kind of heckled her for that, kind of gave her a tough time. And I want to tell you that Michelle Obama was absolutely correct. Now, let me just say, the slaves were not the only ones that built the White House, so I don't want to mislead you, but they played a major role in building the White House, okay? And when I'm talking about major role, I'm talking about we talk about, let's look at it, like carpentry, masonry, carting, rafting, plastering, glazing, and painting, as well as hard work of sawing of logs and stones, So there was a lot of hard work that the early slaves did in building the White House. But here's what you may not know. You may have heard that slaves helped to build the White House, but perhaps you didn't know that slaves also were the persons that primarily who helped build our nation's capital. So when you look at the nation's capital and you see how beautiful it is, you see the design and you see all of that, then black people were the persons who were primarily used to build both buildings, the White House as well as our nation's capital. And so we played a role in that. Now, but specifically, what about in the governance part of the country? Because that's important. Now, let me just go from the more recent times to maybe the more historical. Well, we know more recently, our country, we elected our first black president ever in the person of President Barack Obama in 2008. Then he was reelected in 2012, and he served very honorably as a two-term president. And then, of course, just on last week, we witnessed history made in another way, the first female woman serving in the position of vice president, but also the first woman of African descent in the person of Kamala Harris. And then as I go back in history, I remember, because when I was growing up, I remember there was a lady, a real nice slim lady from New York by the name of Shirley Chisholm. And Shirley Chisholm became the first black female to be elected to the U.S. Representative, okay? The first black female, and that was in 1968. So we're talking about just right after segregation, okay? And so that was very significant that she won. And then on top of that, as if that was not enough, she ran for president in 1972. Now, of course, she didn't win, but that was really, at that time, that she was not expected to win, but it was just the audacity, the bold and the good audacity that she had to put her hat in the run, you know, for the presidency. And so I remember those times, and I remember my mom and dad talking about it, and, you know, everybody thinking, you know, she was crazy for doing that. And then there was a lady, some of you have forgotten about her because it's been so long since she's been in the, you know, in the eye of the public, but her name is Carolyn Moseley Braun. She served in the United States Senate from 1993 to 1999. And listen to this. She was the first woman from the state of Illinois to be elected to the U.S. Senate. And then, of course, she was the first black female Democrat to the Senate. So we know that Kamala Harris came after her, but Carolyn Moseley Braun was the first black female Democrat to ever serve in the United States Senate. And so we have many, many men and women who have passed on, some of them, but many men and women today that continue to serve in our Congress. So in other words, people represent at the highest level in government, in the governance of our nation. And so we have come a long ways in this country, and we ought to be grateful that we have. And then, of course, even in the judicial branch of government, we've seen our people ascend to the highest places. So when we think about the Supreme Court of the United States, that's the highest court in the land, of course, and we remember the great Thurgood Marshall, who served from 1967 to 1991, and then he retired, and 2 years later, Mr. Marshall passed away, and then it was Clarence Thomas, who was nominated by former President George Herbert Walker Bush in 1991, and he was confirmed, and he serves until this very day as an Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court. And then we're still talking about government now, but we're talking about the Department of Justice. We've had two African-American attorney generals, and the first of which was, of course, Eric Holder, who served during the Obama administration from 2009 to 2015. And then when he left, Loretta Lynch, also serving in the Obama administration, she served in that capacity as attorney general from 2015 to 2017. So, so we have seen progress even in the area of government. But then let me just share with you, there are so many areas. In fact, I probably need to do another show because today's show is just 30 minutes and I have like 5 minutes. But let me just tell you that even in the area of science and even as, like, say, an inventor, what about the great George Washington Carver? Some of you may remember him. I mean, he was an American agricultural chemist. And you may recall that he discovered hundreds of uses for the peanut. I mean, peanut butter, whenever you eat peanut butter, you ought to think about George Washington Carver. He was responsible for that. He was responsible for even the sweet potato and the various uses of the sweet potato and the soybean. And then I think about a man by the name of Benjamin Banneker. You know what Mr. Banneker did? We don't hear much about this in the 21st century, but this man taught himself astronomy. Now, that's a very difficult science to learn, but he taught himself astronomy, and he even predicted a solar eclipse back in 1789. And he made a watch. Now, I don't wear watches, but this really caught my attention when I was reading about him. He made a watch out of wood. I mean, the whole watch was made out of wood, and the watch actually kept accurate time for 40 years. So think about that. Yes, Benjamin Banneker, and he was called upon by both President Washington and Jefferson to assist them in various capacities. And then when I think about people in this field, I can't help but to think about the late, great Ron McNair, who was an astronaut and a physicist. And you may remember that it was Ron McNair, who was one of the persons who perished in the Space Shuttle Challenge in 1986 as it was going up. It exploded, unfortunately, and all the crew passed away. But Ron McNair was an amazing young man. He was only 35 years old when he passed away. But since then, we also had Mae Jemison, a female. She was an astronaut and a physician. And so Black people have made so many contributions in this area. And I could go on and on and on. But let me just tell you something else. In the couple of minutes that I have, in the area of higher learning and education, there was an African gentleman by the name of Molefe Asante. And you know what he did? He created the country's first African-American studies PhD program at Temple University in 1987. And that was significant. And then Marva Collins, I love her. She was a Chicago public school teacher. And in 1975, she started a school in her very own home. And guess what she did? It was a preparatory school, and it flourished so much so that she began to get accolades from everyone in the educational field for turning children who were considered unteachable into successful students. And so by the 1990s, listen to this, she was training over 1,000 teachers to do what she did on an annual basis. So what I'm going to do is stop here because I should have had this a little longer today because these 30 minutes come and go so fast. But there's so much information that I have, and I think that the significant contributions of Black people are so important that I don't want to rush through the rest of the information. But I'm going to come back, and I'm going to finish this up. But I just want you to know that if you are an African-American or a person of African descent, you ought to be proud of the contributions that Blacks have made in America, because without Black America, there would be no America, and that is the truth. Take care until the next time. This is the Voice of Reason Talk Show with your host, Wayne Cooper. Take care.